This is Booker T.
Hey, everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, you've got Terry Funk here.
This is Jerry Lynn.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back inside the square circle to once again bring you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Politically incorrect.
School to new school. From the WWE.
This is Natty Neidhart.
This is Stampede Digital Wilson.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Gail Kim.
TNA.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
I'm Bojo.
Hi, this is Chris Vianney, TNA Knockout.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
And the indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it.
With your hosts.
This is not a door in a logical sense.
Tim Stein.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
Spug.
It's kind of kinky, and I like that.
Mace.
See, I just can't stand.
Will.
You can't see me.
Tonight's special guest, Alan Wojcik.
And when you're out of my sight, you must constantly Twitter me exactly what you're up to, even though I don't know what Twitter is and have no desire to find out.
Kenny Omega.
We are the
live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I am the man of meh, otherwise known as Mace, filling in the opening for Angry Omega, because Angry Omega is angry. Joining us tonight, we have the Spug Guy.
What's up?
Who I believe. The Sky, and also a lot of people's blood pressure. We also have Alan Wojcik.
Hey guys, I would love to get excited about this pay-per-view, but I'm more excited the St. John's Red Storm are going to the NCAA tournament, baby.
Going dancing, baby.
Bring on Gonzaga and John Stockton and his faggy little shorts.
You're going to lose. I'm sorry to say.
I'm happy I'm there, dude. I'm happy I'm even in the dance.
Ohio State, number one seed overall.
Good for them.
And of course, the one and only Tim Stein before these guys take over the sports talk.
Yeah, it sounded like they were going crazy with this college, whatever's going on.
Hey, to be honest, I'd rather that than the TNA pay-per-view recap.
Oh, hey, yeah. Well, we're going to make this as quick as possible because I don't want to waste a ton of time on this. Guys, gals, everybody, welcome to a Sunday night edition of, WTR Sunday night, as opposed to a Saturday night edition. Think about
Fail.
It. Wrestle Talk Radio is live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Wake the kids and get ready for some expletives because we've got almost 3 hours, well, 2 hours and 42 minutes of WTF. What the fuck? Seriously. Seriously. Everybody in the chat room listening around the World Wide Web, if you're listening on your mobile device, did you know that you could listen on your mobile device? All you got to do is go to wtr.wirenode.mobi, spelled M-O-B-I, and you can tune in. You don't need any kind of iPhone app because it works on all wireless devices. Anyway, let's take a look at this real quick. I think that we'll touch on a few things afterwards. We'll give everybody the results to begin with. TNA Victory Road 2011. Starting off, we got a no DQ false count anywhere. It's Bully Ray versus Tommy Dreamer. Tommy Dreamer gets the win with a little bit of help from Devon after his sons show up walking down the ramp to distract Bully Ray. Next up, TNA Knockouts Tag Team Championship. Rosita and Sarita taking on Angelina Love with Winter. Angelina Love and Winter, of course, the title holders coming into this match. And new knockout tag team champions, the winners, Rosita and Sarita. Up next, first blood match, Hernandez versus Matt Morgan. Now, in other circumstances and with a less shitty pay-per-view, I would have found this an interesting tweak on a First Blood match with Hernandez spraying Matt Morgan with fake blood to take the victory when the ref sees the fake blood all over Morgan's chest despite his protestations. Up next, the X Division Championship match. It's the Ultimate X, and it's Max Buck taking on Jeremy Buck, taking on Robbie E, taking on the champion Kazarian. Kazarian retains and is still X Division champion. Up next, the TNA Tag Team Championships. We've got Ink Ink versus Beer Money. Beer Money, of course, holding the title, and Beer Money retains. Match after that. Cold Blood, Matt Hardy versus AJ Styles. AJ with the winner despite Ric Flair trying to interfere during the final three-count attempt by referee Hebner.
Can I just say something about that match real quick?
No, well, I suppose you could, but I was just giving everybody the results, and then we were going to run it down. But what?
Matt Hardy works AJ Styles' throat the entire match. Flair interferes and grabs AJ in the nuts.
Well,
makes a lot
Flair,
of sense.
Maybe Flair owed him the reach around from last night or the night before. I don't know. We'll talk
Ooh.
About that. Yeah. Anyway, continuing on. Number one contendership match. Oh my God. Ultimate WTF moment number what? 5 out of 6 for the night. Rob Van Dam versus Mr. Anderson. The winner? There wasn't a fucking winner. It was a double countout. What the hell? The only thing I can think of is they're setting up a triple threat match for next month's pay-per-view for the heavyweight title. We'll take a look at that. Now, here it is, the ultimate fuck you to the fans. This is the big, fat middle finger. TNA heavyweight / crackhead kid champion Jeff Hardy taking on the WWW, the TNA heavyweight champion Sting in like 2 seconds. With the Scorpion Death Drop, Sting retains. Let's talk about this main event for a sec. 2 seconds. Did Jeff Hardy look right to you, Mace?
To be honest, I blinked and missed the entire fucking thing.
Okay, I know that... Okay, Alan, what's with the feedback?
What feedback?
What feedback? Echo.
We can hear the show playing in the background.
That's never a good thing. Hold on a second.
Yeah, turn the player off or hit mute.
Or unplug it.
Oh, okay. See, he didn't have his microphone set up properly. Basically, Alan pulled a TNA victory road tonight. In other words, total clusterfuck.
So I'm on Botchamania? Cool.
Yeah, total clusterfuck. So, Alan, what did you notice from this main event?
I noticed that TNA, if the nail wasn't already in the coffin, it is now. I sat there, and I'm just going, okay, square death drop, boom, 1, 2, 3, okay, cool, here comes Anderson RVD, and we'll have a three-way or something, and, like, okay, nothing going on here, and... I guess already there are reports on certain sites that Sting is apparently in worse shape. I'm very confused, Tim, to why Russo and Bischoff, who's now executive producer of this fun.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Okay. Some reports say Sting is in really bad shape and can't work. However, he retains the title. So I cannot put stock into that from what I know. If you're hurting, you're dropping the title. Unless it's a Charlie horse. In which case, you can work the hell through it. Okay? Some reports, some people are saying in different chat rooms around the interwebs during the pay-per-view, Jeff Hardy didn't look right. Jeff Hardy may look like he's limping. Jeff Hardy was acting weird in the ring trying to throw his shirt to the fans. What the hell? Apparently, thanks to our producer here, Sir Rockham, according to the PW Torch, word backstage at the pay-per-view is that Hardy was in no condition to perform. That tells me he didn't look right to me. And it looked like something was up. That tells me that he was at least as wasted, if not more so, than he was when he fought Anderson and gave Anderson that that concussion when he was supposed to hit him in the back and caught him in the back of the head instead. Now, the fans chanted bullshit as security helped Jeff Hardy to the back, according to PWInsider.com. If you watch the pay-per-view, you heard the chants bullshit. At which point, I saw Sting at the top of the ramp looking around, and he's saying, I agree. I agree. You heard him clearly saying he agreed with whatever chant that the fans in the Impact Zone were, well, chanting. Isn't it time TNA stepped in and said, Jeff, you're suspended. We're releasing you. Go fuck off to rehab. Smarten the fuck up. Do something.
They did this before already, and look where he ended up. Back in WWE and then back here.
Well, let him go back to WWE, because Vince sure as hell wouldn't put up with that. Mace?
I don't know what to think or say about this. It boggles the mind whether either man was healthy or not. You know, they could have done something. Anything. But they gave us nothing. It was, like you said, Tim, a giant middle finger to the fans.
Yeah, well, that actually, I do believe, came from the Spug guy during during our pay-per-view chat, Spug.
He's stunned in the silence, too, like the rest of us, man.
No, I think that came from Omega.
Who's really in silence.
What bothers me is that you had Sting saying, you know, I agree. And when Sting got into the ring, you're not going to put the title on him, you know, a week ago if he's not in shape to wrestle. You're just not. There's certain things as a wrestling promotion you just don't do. And while TNA has proven that they will do many of those things, they, however, you know, I think would draw the line at that one.
Yeah. Well, you know,
the thing, however, when he's standing at the top of the ramp saying, I agree. At that point in time, whether you paid admission to go into that pay-per-view or not, I don't know how that works and I really don't care. Eric Bischoff, Dixie Carter, and Hulk Hogan should have come out and publicly crucified Jeff Hardy. And I'm not talking you work it. I'm talking you go out there and publicly crucify the man. Because he obviously is in no shape to work, in no shape to wrestle, in no shape to take care of anybody in that ring, let alone himself. He cares more about doing drugs than he does about the craft that he proclaims to love and adore. And this is the respect you pay to the business by getting so fucking high on whatever it is that you can't work. Now, he limped, so he could have been high on painkillers nursing an injury. We don't know.
Well, that's fine. However, if you are taking that many painkillers, maybe you should, like, back the hell up and say, look, I got to sit out a month.
I agree.
Mace?
Yeah, I like Spug's idea. Let's crucify the man.
I do believe that it's about time to. And right now, you know, we got 22 people on Ustream and a few people on our Shoutcast feed. I would strongly encourage every single one of you, if you have a Facebook account, and most of us do have a Facebook account, I say we hit Eric Bischoff's Facebook account, his page. We do it with Jeremy Borash. We make comments on you know, TNA's Facebook. Say we demand an explanation. We demand an apology for tonight. Because I'll tell you one thing is for damn sure, I would demand a refund if you paid for this.
It's not even demanding an apology or an explanation. What it is demanding respect. Demanding respect as a wrestling fan. You know, you are expected, as a wrestling fan, you expect a certain amount of decency and respect from your promotion.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, whether it be on an indie level, whether it be on a professional level, whatever. You expect a certain amount of decency and respect. And 9 times out of 10, you get it. This pay-per-view tonight, in its entirety, from start to finish, smacked with a complete and utter disrespect to the fans of the product who have stuck loyally behind it. Forget the casual viewer. I'm talking the loyal fans that want to support that product, that want to be a part of that product as far as helping it grow and seeing it become something. You know, smack them all in the face.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly what it is. It feels like a bitch slap, Alan.
I almost don't understand. This episode, and I'm sorry, my audio crapped out completely, so I didn't get to hear what Spud was saying. And I noted it to you guys during the chat. This felt like an episode of Impact. Because
okay, Alan, let me just interrupt for a quick sec here right now. We're gonna go to Mace because there is something unconfirmed. We can go with it. We'll say alleged. This is not confirmed at all. But Mace, did you want to drop that bomb?
It seems that Ringside Access reporting that Jeff Hardy has been arrested straight after the pay-per-view's gone off the air. That would contradict the fact that security were last seen escorting Hardy out of the ring, Hardy having a limp. So at the moment, it's all unconfirmed. It's alleged. If anything else pops up, we shall let you know.
Arrested now, for what?
Well, that's just
that match.
He was arrested for a shitty match or a bad attitude or something like that. Who knows? Now, the reason why I decided let's go with that one after the producer says, yeah, don't bother mentioning it, is because the fact that somebody decided to post that on a tweet really places out what somebody is thinking in regards to Jeff Hardy's bug.
I'm sorry, I'm not following. You know, can you?
Well, let me just like break it down and segment. Compartmentalize this whole thing.
Okay.
We really diss TNA Creative for not being creative.
Yes.
The ultimate laziness being their Sting return, which ripped off two different vignettes and promos from WWE without even bothering to hide it. And everybody's saying, well, yeah, of course, you know, everybody's screaming, Sting, Sting, Sting in WWE. That's what that 221-11 was. Nothing was alluded to 221-11 being Sting's appearance in WWE. And these, I don't know if they're the TNA apologists or whatever. Maybe they're, you know, the apologists, the fanboys, the marks for TNA, whatever. They're saying, hey, get off TNA's back, okay? You wanted Sting, TNA delivered.
Okay, I was saying so, that too. I mean, I don't agree with how they did the promos or how they copied them, but
yeah,
they gave us what we wanted.
Well, you see, that's the epitome of laziness. They could have come up with their own thing and made it so, you know, unique looking that it wouldn't have come off as a ripoff. And I don't buy this. Oh, well, you know, they're just giving you what you wanted to begin with. Well, no. We didn't want Sting back in TNA, quote, you know, and I'm speaking for the internet wrestling community at large here. We wanted to see Sting in WWE because we wanted to see Sting and Undertaker at WrestleMania. That's what we wanted. We didn't, you know, okay, so that's what that is. So don't tell me that TNA gave us what we wanted. But what I'm saying is that is an example of things that people are bashing with TNA. And instead of just being generic and general with their bashing, they're actually zooming in and focusing on one specific worker in TNA. And basically, you know, whether it's true or it's not, they're saying, look at this. Hey, guess what happened after the pay-per-view, Mace?
You know what, Tim? I'm not even listening anymore.
Yeah.
I'm that fucking sick and tired of TNA, the shit they've done, the shit people put on it, don't put on it, whatever. You know what? I said it best, you know, last time, and it seems to be a recurring theme. Fuck this company. I'm done. Don't want to watch it. Don't want to talk about it. End of story. Don't come back to me with any more TNA questions. Fuck off.
And there is a very, very good chance that we are going to boycott TNA coverage on this network until they smarten up, Alan.
What are you taking after my predecessors at some point?
Well, okay, maybe on this show.
Okay, well, let me just point this out again. And I dig what you were saying, and I'm fine with you saying what you're saying. This reeked of a thrown away script of Impact, especially all the crap with the Jarretts going around the theme park that annoyed the living piss out of me. The first blood match, yeah, that was cute of a way to end it. Would have been nicer if you got it on its face. But whether, you know, whether Hardy has issues that precluded him from performing on this event tonight, or if Steve Borden is supposedly injured, as sites are saying, you had what, three? They do a their talent reports at pay-per-views at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. They do a pre-production meeting at 6 o'clock Eastern. Their pre-show starts at 7:30. You're telling me that from when the talent arrived at 1 o'clock till now, there was no way to fix this main event. If Sting is hurt, if Hardy is incoherent, you couldn't have fixed this? Oh, and thank God those fans that go there don't pay. There, unless you're an annual park holder of the tickets, the majority of the folks that went in there tonight are standing outside in a regular line or their VIP line, and they're not paying to go in. The only thing they're paying is maybe for the $13-$14 in parking. But, and I, oh, Mace was on the air with us Tuesday night, and Spug was on the air with us Tuesday night when we talked with Kevin Scott formerly of the Poughkeepsie Journal, who was a part of Phil Strum's Under the Ring blog. And Kevin gave up after the 3-3 event. He was Phil Strum's normal weekly. He would recap everything for Phil. He walked away from this product. Mace and I have been watching this product for years, and I know I'm saying it again. I was in Huntsville, Alabama in 2002, and I've been covering this product ever since then. And I know Omega's back, and I'm sure Omega wants to get out the pitchforks and the torches and everything else. But this was, with the exception of, for my money, the Ultimate X match, and I know it's a spot fest, but for me it's a different kind of spot fest. This was the worst pay-per-view I've seen in the almost 9 years of this organization. And I've seen a lot of them.
Yeah, I was just about to say, that's saying a lot. You know, the potential match of the night was the number one contendership, but it ended in a double countout. That could have, well, it wouldn't have saved the pay-per-view, but it would have made it a little bit palatable, I think, anyway.
But let me just say this real quick again, because I was kind of going there before. I thought when they did that double schmaltz fest, that was a setup to Bischoff coming out and going, you know, let's make this interesting and, you know, we'll turn this into a fatal four-way. And that's the way you get the belt off of Sting. Or, as you guys were reiterating, and I think Omega may have mentioned it, or Mace may have mentioned it, I'm sorry if I'm getting names mixed up when we're typing it all so fast, that this was a way to get to a triple threat match at Lockdown in April. Now I don't know what the heck to think anymore. I joked Tuesday night after the show, and I'll say it on here, and I'll say it on Tuesday night. I'm only watching TNA wrestling right now because I cover it for this show, I cover it for my own show, and sometimes I do notes. I may actually end up jumping in and helping Phil Strom out, so go ahead, please. Somebody else talk about how wonderful.
Okay, well, we've got a whole bunch of stuff that we want to cover tonight. I think we're done talking about this pay-per-view, because all it's going to do is rile everybody up who's not yet riled up. Really, it's not worth it other than to mention, you know, despite what a couple of people have said of the possibility of Sting not being able to work the match because he's injured. I disagree completely. Check the replays as soon as, you know, they'll post bits and pieces on YouTube and all this other, you know, all these other places around the Internet. If you watch carefully, you'll see. It looked to me like Sting was holding Jeff Hardy's shoulders down to make sure he couldn't kick out. So I get the feeling that maybe Sting was told to shoot, on Hardy in the ring and get the damn thing over with. That being said, everybody, you listen to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Special shout out to the Midnight Man and his girl, Patty. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Always glad to have you tuned in and listening to us. We'll be back right after this.
The top, but then keep heading up. Stars shine for why we should give a fuck about what is real and how real is still the only way to feel the pain sometimes feels in a way that survives the struggles we face in this life. There's a lot time can't erase. Showcase the skills you were given at birth. Live your life if and what it's worth. Show off the style you perfect in life. Show off the way to make it right. Make it to the top of Mount Profession, rule it until you feel there's nothing more for you to do.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Expect me to be funny? We do that on the show. So tune in. Listen. I demand it.
I hear voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present, such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
The night where boyhood dreams come true.
Wait a minute! Michael said he got it! He got all of it! Michael's got all of it! Michael's in the cover! 5, 2, yeah!
The boyhood dream has come true for Shawn Michaels!
The night where new eras are born.
Michael's going for another chip! Austin, he got it!
this year at WrestleMania. Find out the night before the granddaddy of them all on Wrestle Talk Radio on Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team, and you're listening to me on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And, yeah, that was the entrance music for JBL, who actually showed up after a 2-year absence in WWE. But we'll talk about that in a second. Right now,
I missed that cow. I mean, music.
Longhorn, man. I'd like to take this time right now, and I'm sure that everybody else here on the phone line will join me in sending out our thoughts, our wishes, our hopes, and our prayers for the people of Japan right now, who this past weekend were victims of a devastating earthquake that actually registered a 9.0 on the Richter scale. It was originally reported at 8-point-something, but they kept upgrading the rating until at some point in time today. They upgraded the rating to a 9.0, and not only that, this afternoon or this evening, Japan experienced an aftershock. I do believe that the seismic rating was a 5.3 on the Richter scale, if I'm not incorrect about that.
The original rating of the earthquake in Japan was 8.9, so it really didn't go up that much.
Yeah, and while, you know, 0.1 still... on the Richter scale, that's a bit of a movement. We do know that Japan actually moved 8 feet east.
And the day is now 30 milliseconds longer.
Yeah, the earthquake sped up the rotation of the planet Earth.
It moved the axis of the Earth by 10 centimeters.
Yep, so that was a huge thing. And, of course, the aftershock, thanks, Tony, 5.6 was the aftershock. In the next few days, they're expecting more aftershocks. There's going to be like dozens of ripple effects. But the huge one they're expecting, 7.9. The big concern right here, Mace, the nuclear reactors in Japan, they are two of the world's biggest.
Yeah, they definitely are. And I'm checking news reports via my local sources at the moment. And supposedly, complete nuclear meltdown is possible after the number 3 reactor, had an explosion in it earlier this afternoon.
Yeah. Well, now the huge difference between these reactors and what happened at Chernobyl, say, is that these reactors are, there's going to be some radiation fallout and radiation leakage, but it's not going to be anywhere near the scale Chernobyl was. The main mass of the reactors are enclosed. I don't know if you guys heard about this or not, but it's like a secondary buffer.
Yeah, almost. Well, of all the countries, and it sounds so horrible to say it, but of all the countries,
I know where you're going.
Best prepared for this, it was Japan. If you saw footage, somebody took a video camera and shot the downtown Tokyo skyline, which, yeah, it was several miles away from the epicenter. But how often do you see earthquakes in California that are 7.0 magnitude and, you know, 100 or so miles away from any major structure, and yet that major structure collapses? You know, you just see these buildings in Tokyo. They look like slinkies. They're just waving back and forth.
They're built to withstand withstand such seismic activity, and they got the idea from World War II.
And so the only, and I will maintain this, and while this is a horrible tragedy, And I feel bad for everyone who is affected by this. It would not have been nearly as bad had there not been a tsunami.
Yeah, well, because it was offshore, the tsunami was inevitable, unavoidable, and it's just going to happen, and that's all there is to it.
Right. I'm just playing the devil's advocate to nature. Had there not been the tsunami...
Well, it was a tsunami that wiped out 50% of that one town.
Did you see the video that somebody shot from the beach or something? It looked like it was straight out of a Michael Bay film, and I don't know, who shot it. But you see the shoreline, and you see the farms beyond the shoreline, and the water level is right there, and then all of a sudden, there's nothing but land. And you just see this wave come in. I mean, 30 foot tall, just gigantic wave.
Yeah, didn't see it. But, my hopes, thoughts, prayers, and, everything go out to the Japanese people. Now, the earthquake actually registered on the seismographs here in Alberta, Canada. All eight of them. We've got eight different seismographs, and all eight of them picked up the earthquake, Omega.
Not surprising. They were getting shocks all the way from Hawaii that were in the twos and threes. I mean, it's a hard subject for me because I do have friends in Japan. There were people that I had to check on and make sure they were okay.
Yep. So I can't make fun of this?
No. It's not something we'd be much.
Don't even think about it.
Yeah. He was just pulling your leg. But,
I don't want it pulled tonight. Not especially over this.
Yeah. I can tell you that I can empathize with the worrying about finding loved ones in Japan, in Hawaii, on the West Coast. One guy, on the West Coast there, where is it, Northern California or Oregon or something, actually was killed by that tsunami, but, it was his fault. He actually moved towards the wave, he had to get that videotape. But, the reason why I can empathize with trying to find loved ones when you don't know what's going on or where they are, I found out the hard way that my father is in Hawaii at the moment. I didn't know that he went. I didn't know he was there. I woke up, I think it was Friday morning, with my sisters and brothers emailing everybody back and forth, the entire family. Have you heard from Dad? Have you heard from Dad? Finally, they got a hold of the old man. They had evacuated the hotel that they were staying in and had them hold up in a high school parking lot. And typical of my dad, he said, yeah, we're fine, just sitting in the parking lot. How's the weather there? So.
This part I will make fun of. Did you see the idiot surfers on Hawaii and California?
No.
They were, CNN was in Hawaii and California in at 8:15, the first tsunami hit Hawaii. And it did a little bit of damage, not much. But at about 11 or so, the remnants of that tsunami hit California, and they were something like 6 foot waves or some shit. I mean, they weren't really big, but they were good surf. And it drew one of the boats off of its moorings in this marina out to sea, and there was another one that was floating off at the end of the dock, and they smacked into each other, and this CNN reporter is trying to make it out like, oh my god, did you see the two boats hitting each other? It was just this big deal, when nothing else was hurt. And you see these six idiot surfers in the background riding the crest of this wave in, and I kept waiting for one of them to smack into the boat that was just washed out to sea.
Okay. I'm really not sure what else to say about this subject. But Alan,
hey, I'm glad my friends are finally out of there. They're about 240 kilometers out from where the nuclear plant that's having trouble is. They finally. It took them about 8 hours. Their flight was delayed 8 hours trying to get out of the country, but they're finally out. Thank God, back home.
Well, final words on the subject before we move on. One of the mayors of one of the cities affected in Japan is saying that this is the worst disaster to hit that country since World War II. Once again, thoughts and prayers go out to absolutely everybody. Everybody, if you're planning on sending any kind of donations or anything like that, watch out for the scams and the scammers. If it seems legit but you're not sure, if you're planning on donating anything, just go through the Red Cross. Omega?
Actually, me and several other video guys on YouTube, we're currently promoting a fund that was started by a friend of ours in Japan who runs one of the shops that we all frequent. So it's a very trustworthy place to donate. It goes straight to Japan, straight to the people that need it. I posted a video for it on YouTube at TJ Omega or straight to superherotime.chipin.com for the fund.
And I just have to give you a great big huge pat on the back for doing something like this, Omega. Good on you.
It's what I can do, so I felt I had to do something.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's get moving on with some wrestling talk here. Guys, gals, everybody. WWE legend The Honky Tonk Man posted the following on his Facebook account. HTM has been told Hogan will bolt to the WWE if asked. Sources within TNA have said Hogan will leave Eric Bischoff behind like a rat. Hogan is on his way out of TNA. Dixie has had to advance Flair money to pay his debts. Strange things are happening at TNA. Hogan's TNA contract is results and incentive based. Either party can walk any time. HTM said at first Hogan is on the way out. Now, do you guys figure that Honky Tonk Man has finally completely lost it?
I doubt he had it to begin with.
Mace?
Yeah, I'd agree with Omega on that one. I don't think he had it, but at the moment he sounds like the sanest person in TNA.
You'd almost think so.
Or around TNA.
Uh-huh.
Hell, look after this pay-per-view. It wouldn't surprise me if Hogan's looking for a way out.
Yeah, there you go.
Considering he wasn't on it at all.
Yeah, I was just about to say, Alan, do you have any thoughts on the subject in 100 words or less?
I don't buy anything Honky Tonk Man shilling. He claimed Jimmy Hart left and Jimmy Hart's doing this and that. Well, until Jimmy Hart's ass appears at Fan Access or appears on WWE TV, Wayne Ferris is full of crap. But then again, so are a lot of us when we speculate on stuff. So we'll wait and see what's up. I the Hogan thing I'll buy, but that's not a secret. A lot of people's contracts are that way. There's like three different structures of TNA contracts. There's certain guys that get paid. They're guaranteed pay. There's certain guys that are paid by appearance. And then there are some that just have the... the downside guarantee type deal that WWE has. So that one I'll buy.
Alan, that's not 100 words or less.
Oh, excuse me. I'm not typing into that twinging, twanging thing that I got to have characters telling me. And you didn't put up a thing going, you're at 5, you're at 4, you're at 3. You're over!
Yeah. Well, you're over by about 200. Anyway. Yeah. Moving on, this past Monday night, JBL and sorry, Omega, were you about to say something?
Keep the whole crux of that is Hogan would bolt even if Honky Tonk Man is correct for the first time in his life.
Mm-hmm.
The crux of what he said was if Hogan, Hogan would bolt to WWE if asked. He ain't gonna be asked.
Yeah, why would want him?
That's the point that everyone's missing here. Okay, this is the second time. He's tried to bury Vince by jumping to another company, trying to build it up. He's a far more direct role in it this time. And Vince will bury the hatchet if there is money to be made. And Hogan, if he has proven anything in TNA, is that he doesn't draw money anymore.
Well, hang on just a quick sec. Along that line, I have a quick question for you that popped in my head just because of what you were saying. Vince likes to make money and will work with anybody as long as money, shows up. But Vince also likes to, get even with people, if you will. Is it possible that there might be a crack in that door just so Vince can rip Hogan a new one before he fires them again?
No.
Bring rehire
him. Bring back Randy Savage. You've dug a bigger, deeper hole than the bald spot. But you're going to bring the bald spot back?
Well, hang on. It's not that Vince doesn't want Randy Savage back. It's Randy Savage is not willing to work with Vince just yet.
There's no money in the bald spot coming back unless he's coming back to sell WWE-inspired walkers.
Yeah, well, hey, you never know. Get those
Dude,
WWE.
Alan, you just hate the bald spot that much.
No, I don't understand why this guy has so much money, and I know his ex-wife has taken him to the cleaners, literally, and her 20-year-old boyfriend is driving around in his car, but...
Okay, what don't you understand of why he is in the wrestling industry?
But why is he still around? I'll admit, he's the biggest icon in sports entertainment.
He is one of the biggest icons in professional wrestling. Yes.
Sure.
Period.
But there's got to be a point where you've got your body is physically going to tell you. You think John Elway should still be playing in the NFL?
That's completely different.
Do you think Vinny Testaverde should still be playing in the NFL?
Has Hogan been in the ring on a regular basis in TNA?
Define regular. TNA isn't regular, man.
On a regular, scheduled basis where he is appearing on almost every or every other Impact, where he is on six or more of the pay-per-views a year in high-profile matches. Does he have a regular spot on the roster? Yes or no?
Why do I feel like I'm in court, Judge Judy? Chill out, man.
Because his ass has been
in a hospital here in Tampa for months.
Because I think you're unfairly criticizing Hogan because you either don't like him or you have a bias against him.
Okay, I'm a huge Ric Flair mark. I've been one since I was born. Rick needs to hang him up. Hogan needs to hang him up. Terry Funk said it best. You need to help the next generation get ready for there to be a next generation. And when you're not helping the next generation get ready, you're going to be looking at a couple people going, well, what do we do now, dude?
There is a next generation in TNA.
Yeah, and they
but
got
I can't, I
old
cannot lay this, dude, I cannot lay this clusterfuck at the feet of Hogan.
Guilt by association with Bischoff, sorry.
Whatever.
Moving on. JBL and Steve Austin return to TV. Mace, did you catch this segment?
JBL return? Hell yeah, I did. I popped like a motherfucker.
I was about to say how bad did you mark up, because I knew to go to you first on this one.
I popped big time, goddammit. I missed that music, I missed the limo, I missed that goddamn heel bastard like you wouldn't believe.
There you go.
The top heels in this generation, of course I was happy to see him back. Even if it was to support Michael Cole, who decides to interrupt the Divas match, the fucking cock-knocking bastard.
Can I ask a question, Mace?
Fuck-knuckle! What?
I don't know why you're calling me a fuck-knuckle, but okay.
No, Michael Cole's fuck-knuckle.
All right, you dislike Alberto Del Rio, and I'll throw it out there for anybody, not just Mace. You dislike Alberto Del Rio because of the way he is pushed and shoved down our throats. Yet, he is essentially the Mexican version of JBL. And he does it fairly well. Yet, you sit there and say that JBL is probably one of the greatest heels of our generation, in which you're right. Why aren't you willing to give Del Rio a shot?
The reason why I'm not willing to give Del Rio the shot is because of being shoved down our throats. JBL was gradual. He worked his way to being the heel that we know that he is today. There's a difference.
Okay, can I weigh in on this really quickly here, Spug?
No, I said I threw it out there for everybody.
Okay, well, then here's my two cents. I'm not an Alberto Del Rio fan. And I'm not saying negative crap on that. You know, nothing negative. It's just I see guys like Christian. I see guys like Edge. You know, Chris Jericho, The Miz, John Cena.
Three of the four are Canadians, mind you. Three of the five are now Canadians.
That's got nothing to do with it. These guys have all achieved superstardom status, and I'm just using them as an example. And it's just so, you know, coincidentally, they're, you know, most of them are Canadian. That's got nothing to do with it. What my point is, all of these guys have what we have always, you know, used with the air quotes, they've got it. I don't sense that Alberto Del Rio has it, Omega.
No, he does not, and I have not been quiet about my dislike of Del Rio, and it has nothing to do with the character he's portraying, though I don't feel he portrays it as well as JBL, who, when JBL was around, we were calling a $1 million man knockoff.
Yep.
But the reason I am down on Del Rio is he has not earned what he is getting. He is getting, in his rookie year, a championship match at the biggest show of the year, which yeah. He hasn't done anything to earn. He has not, he isn't someone, you know, like, at least The Miz has been around a few years now. At least The Miz has proven himself in some fashion. This is damn near one of Del Rio's first, Del Rio's first major feud was Rey Mysterio. Keep in mind, he's just finished with that. This is his second major feud. And he is main eventing WrestleMania for it. It just screams of misbooking.
Well, let me ask you, if it wasn't WrestleMania, if it was Money in the Bank, or I don't know, Extreme Rules or SummerSlam or any other pay-per-view besides WrestleMania, would you have the same problem with Del Rio getting a main event push and a title shot, keeping in mind that in his rookie year, Sheamus not only won the title, but, you know, quote-unquote, knocked Triple H out of action for a good 10 months?
Well, I wasn't happy about them pushing him so hard either. I admit. It worked out, he got better, but he actually had an element of originality to him. You know, he actually had, you know, a look. He had some talent that was lacking on Raw at the time. Del Rio, if this was just your humdrum pay-per-view, you know, just the random one you throw out there someday, fine. I honestly wouldn't have a problem with it because SmackDown's roster, especially on the heel side, is so damn depleted right now. They need to be building up new guys. So. I could take a championship match at a normal pay-per-view, but not the biggest show of the fucking year.
Okay.
Go ahead. TV leaves a lot to be desired of for Del Rio.
Now, you're talking partly because you went to SmackDown show and you saw him live.
I saw him live. And I got to see stuff that takes place off the air that people didn't get to see. I was vehemently opposed to Del Rio, but after seeing him live, I am on the Del Rio bandwagon. He possesses an ability to incite people that we don't see very often. Triple H, Randy Orton, JBL, The Rock, you know, just to name a few of who have had that ability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has the ability to incite people either way. And the greatest thing about it is that when he's going through his spiel in Spanish, he is insulting the shit out of the WWE fan.
Uh-huh.
If you go translate it, dude, he really is just insulting people. And I wish they would do it in English because it would be so much better, but that's part of his gimmick. And it does, yes, it's a Mexican JBL. It really is. and you have to give him time to grow into it. And yeah, he's been shoved down our throats, but if he's on Raw getting shoved down our throats, this goes over better than him being on SmackDown. Because there's not a whole lot of people that fucking watch SmackDown. And there's not a whole hell of a lot for him to do over there.
So you figure he might be on the wrong show and they should trade his ass to Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Getting back to JBL. We touched on it. Let's take a look at him and his characters a little more in depth. I liked him when he was Bradshaw. A part of the APA. And then they come out with this JBL character. Something felt missing. I was not a big fan. But then, yeah, his character grew on me, and I came to like hating him, you know, like the way you're supposed to with the heel, when it's done properly, Alan.
I've never had a problem with JBL as a character, because as you said, he's a next generation Ted DiBiase, as Del Rio is. We talked about it Tuesday night. I think it's interesting that they're bringing back the great old, I think Mace was one to compare it to. It almost felt like WrestleMania 18 or 19, where I'm going, okay, well, who's next to show up here? I mean, Booker's here. Everybody's here. What's not to love? Jericho can't, because he's going to do his dancing show. But I've never had a problem. Maybe I shouldn't be as impartial as I am. But, and if I'm, Spug and Mace can testify to it, if I've said it before, I never have bashed Del Rio outright, because I'm giving him a wait and see approach. And as I'm sure Spug will say, it's not Alberto Del Rio that we should be ripping on if you're against Del Rio. It's Brian Giewertz and Ed Koski and Stephanie McMahon-Levesque. They're the ones that have the pen in hand going, well, he looks good. I'm willing to give him a shot. I mean, if he fails at Mania, then everybody gets to turn around and point at Vince and Steph and then go, ha ha. But if he comes out and blows the joint out, blows the dome off the roof in Atlanta with Edge, and has one of the best matches ever, then it's going to be another situation of, you know, now the WWE people are going to go, aha, we were right. So, yeah. I don't know. I mean, JBL's, and I don't know the way they're going to work this, but I'll admit with Mace, it was pretty cool to go, I'm sitting there and I'm going, wait, Bradshaw? Yeah. I was like, is this Fox Business Channel and I missed it? Did we click a remote accidentally?
If he's coming back for any length of time, the best thing that they can do with JBL and with Del Rio is put them together.
Oh, that would, you mean in a tag team or like a business conglomerate?
Like a merger.
Have JBL back Del Rio. They're both supposed to be exceedingly rich. So
right.
Have JBL come in to invest in something Del Rio's got cooking.
Exactly. If Del Rio wins the title at Mania, okay? And you could even do it before then. As you have JBL invest in Alberto Del Rio, and you have JBL be his manager.
Now, with all of that being said, let's just blow this right out of the water right now. His appearance on Raw Monday night was a one-off. The guy's retired, lives on an island, and has the best golf course in the world. He's never coming back for anything more than the odd occasional one-off, Mace.
Right.
Well, I'd like to see JBL come back, you know, more, but as Rox posted in our little chat, dude's retired, he likes playing his golf. Yeah. All the more power to him.
Well,
his wife
works
for Fox, so.
I heard reports that they were having trouble locating JBL right up until the until Monday afternoon, Omega.
Yeah, I don't blame the guy. I mean, okay, he's a millionaire. He apparently lives you know, the lifestyle that Del Rio pretends to live. So, who would want to be found? You know, I wouldn't want, you know, if I was a celebrity living in the lap of luxury, I wouldn't want anyone to be able to get into contact with me either.
It's like trying to track down Bill Murray if you're a screenwriter or producer or director.
Yeah, forget it. Never happening unless he wants to be found.
He's on a golf course somewhere.
Yeah, but, I thought it was cool. I thought it was cool for him to show up. At least for the one, even if it's for one shot, Tim. Why not?
Okay, so Stone Cold Steve Austin comes out, delivers the stunner, pours the beer, and pretty much winds up being the special guest referee in the match between Jerry the King Lawler and Michael, are you kidding me, Cole, if I can have your attention, please. Mace?
Absolutely.
It brings a little bit of excitement to what should hopefully be a one-sided match, but, you know, we'll wait and see what happens. I'm not going to downplay Austin like I've downplayed The Rock, because anytime Austin's come out, he's always been, well, Austin.
Yeah.
Give me beer, let me give somebody the stunner, or go home.
There you go. Spug, if you're Stone Cold Steve Austin, how pissed off are you that both mics that you were given to use weren't working properly when you got them?
He's Austin. The dude's got a big enough voice that he'll yell in the arena if he has to.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how many people caught that. Omega, did you see this? Did you catch this?
I noticed one mic didn't seem to work for him. I didn't see it. The other one.
Yeah, he called for a second mic, and it didn't immediately pick up. It was like they didn't have it turned on.
What? Oh,
brilliant.
It's like, guys, this is Stone Cold Steve Austin, arguably the best merchandise seller ever in WWE, still leading guys like John Cena, and you can't remember to turn his mic up?
Hey, Michaels didn't talk when he showed up last time. He just super kicked somebody. Austin just needs a couple dozen beers thrown to him.
Well, you see, I don't think that Austin needed to say anything, but it was pretty awesome to hear him say, if you want me to sign this contract, give me hell yeah, Omega.
I want to know who Austin's magic beer thrower is.
He's got good arm.
Dude's got aim.
Hey, only missed one can out of what, 10?
I think
he missed two cans.
Okay.
Because one of them got impaled in the back of JBL's head. If you watch, as JBL's getting up from the stunner, he cops one right on the back of the head.
I forgot about that. I saw that on the replay. I started laughing. So I got to remember that. And of course, naturally, I fucking didn't. JBL stands up just at the wrong fucking time there.
Yeah, hey, I think Austin's got an implant in his hand that magnetizes and the beer goes right to it. He uses it stick'em, the Biletnikoff and the guys used to use on the Raiders back in the day.
It's like the baseball in Futurama. It's just actually on like a little, you know, stretch cord from Austin's hand right in there.
but let me just jump in real quick here before you go.
Very quickly.
Isn't it amazing the marketing that WWE has that TNA does not? That they can market Austin on the Tough Enough show and Trish on the Tough Enough show and Booker and then cross promote it in because they'll run bumpers for Tough Enough. I was watching Law and Order over the weekend here in Florida and there was commercials for that. You watch Spike TV. I can't even remember being on Spike TV ever seeing a actual commercial for TNA wrestling.
Yeah, and you're wondering how the WWE can get all of that done and TNA doesn't bother? It's because TNA doesn't have anybody who knows what they're doing in marketing.
But that's a problem there because Dixie Carter, dude, came from marketing. Trifecta Entertainment is her marketing company for all the country acts that her and Andy Barton worked on for years.
Well, that's all fine and dandy, but she's not in marketing anymore. So she's saying, okay, guys, you're the marketing department, do your thing. And she's walking away. She cannot be paying that much attention because if she was paying attention, we would see some effort at marketing.
Kevin Scott and Phil Strom said it on our show and Spug and Mace nearly fell over laughing. When they did their event in Coney Island a few months ago that you see all the time in the commercials, Kurt Angle standing up there and the parachute drop ride is behind them. They were advertising on the posters for that event, Hulk Hogan, knowing 1,000,000% that Hogan wasn't going to be there. So I don't understand it, but like I said, it's your show. Direct us, oh captain, my captain.
Before we run off this marketing tangent, I think in a move that shocked me and Omega to like stone stillness, There's a new Stone Cold Steve Austin t-shirt out, and it only took him 5 minutes to put it out there.
The one with The Rock was wearing, I think, was already on sale the moment the show ended.
No, I think Mace came up with a Rock t-shirt that works better than what The Rock came out with.
Ooh.
Was that you, Mace?
No, I didn't send any t-shirts to John Cena, I swear to God. That was WWE Marketing who made that one last Monday night. That
okay.
was not me.
I bring it via live via satellite. I wanted to give you credit for that.
Well, I'm telling you now, I sent John Cena no such t-shirt. Because believe me, if I had John Cena's address, I wouldn't be sending him a t-shirt. It'd be ticking.
There you go.
It's because Mace has a lot of clocks lying around.
Just for the record, if you would like to buy the shirts, Mace did create cbradio.ewazone.com.
There you go. And they're actually up there. They're real. They're legitimate. They are for sale. Check them out. Plug the URL one more time, Rock.
cbradio.ewazone.com.
There you go. And so get your Red Hots while they last. For everything else, there's meh.
And take coming soon, the t-shirt that has been requested tonight.
Yeah, fuck knuckle. Yeah, there you go. Think about it. So, John Cena goes hip-hop, and I don't have any views on this. Does anybody else?
Gone.
It was terrible.
Weak sauce.
There you go. I want to talk about the reunion that finally happened. Edge and Christian reunited for one match only this past Friday night on SmackDown. Omega.
Where was my 5 second pose?
There you go. That was my one disappointment. Mace.
That was all I needed.
Spoke. Yeah. Tell him, man. You were there.
I got a 5 second pose in Cleveland.
Ah! I hate you now.
He loved it for all 5 seconds.
Oh, it was really good. Aside from the part in the 5 second pose where Christian pointed at Edge's cock.
Whoa. The things that happen when the cameras go off.
Well, all right,
crowd, chant, spear, 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 spear.
he got down and did the whole like the Kevin Nash and Scott Hall would do with the arms to the side and everything. Except he was on one knee when he did it, and the way he pointed his hands pointed directly to Edge's cock.
Woohoo. I'm not touching that, sorry.
That just like brought everything to a standstill.
There was a segue somewhere. Find it, man.
So yeah, the only disappointment for us TV viewers was the lack of a 5 second pose, Max.
Ooh.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So
give
other than that,
5 second pose, we'll get the fuck out.
I hope there's more. Do you think we've got more coming from these guys, Omega?
I hope so. I really can't see enough of these. Like, I know they were all over the tag team scene in the Attitude Era, so there's probably a few people that don't mind the fact that this was one night so far. But the two still work so damn well together. I marked out. I mean, I love seeing those two again.
Well, I really hope that we see more of them, Mace.
I bet you do, Canuck.
Canuck? Yeah. Never mind that I'm Canadian. Mace?
And they both live here in Tampa.
Okay, you're not Mace! Mace?
Good day, mate!
Mace, your voice got lower.
What the fuck? Seriously, man.
Okay, I'd like to see Edge and Christian again, I do.
Right, Ozzy.
Not British.
You're right, mate. Hey, good eye.
That's not a knock.
And that's not an Australian accent.
Oh, God. All right, that's it. We're going to go take a break and try to get this thing back on track before it goes any further off the rails. Everybody else in WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network as we go to break. Breaking news! Turns out the squash match in the main event tonight in TNA was because Jeb Hardy was high the drug he took, Charlie Sheen. We'll be back right after this.
This is a public service message from your friends at the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday nights at midnight, the Wild Talk Radio Network presents Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, a show that has a reputation to sometimes take things a little too far with their use of vulgar language and explicit content. We here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are here to tell you that we will not stand for this any longer. We are going to make sure that Cigarette Butts and Bandanas cleans up its act. There will no longer be any use of vulgar language. There will be no more explicit content, and no one will be offended when they tune in to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Saturday nights, midnight Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you for your support, and continue to listen to the new and improved Cigarette Butts.
Screw that. Join us Saturday nights, where we will take things to the extreme, the only way we know how, with the no limits and uncensored nature of the one and only Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you have a business that you are looking to take online but have no idea what an HTML or a JPEG is? Do you currently have a website that is in need of an overhaul? Or do you have a website that needs updating but you don't have the time to do so? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then you need to check out WTRProductions.tk, where you can get quality web design and management at an affordable rate. Looking to get the lowdown on all the services we offer? Then shoot us off an email by checking out our contact section so that we can help you get started building your online home. WTR Productions. High quality work for an affordable rate. Built the way you want. Located at www.wtrproductions.tk.
Website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Barry. Candice Michelle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Bret the Hitman Hart.
Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Pogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Vett, the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
TJ Wilson, Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith, Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Hi,
everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
Winning.
I'm tearing away. Pieces are falling, I can't seem to make them stay.
Welcome back, WTR Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks, everybody, for joining us once again and sticking for with us for as long as you have so far. We'll try to keep it from getting too boring before the program's over. Right, Alan?
Don't pick on Alan.
I wasn't
helping if he's Mr. Excitement.
I'm boring, cool.
Okay. You're picking on Alan and blaming me for it. That's just wrong.
Jerry Lawler set that up for me.
He is Mr. Personality, Alan Baby Wojcik.
They're never going to let that one go.
No. Who? And you know what? I need to get a hold of somebody from ASW and let them know that little tidbit.
They already know it.
They already know it. One's probably rung a few times. Right, Alan?
Hey, I don't give a crap what my wife's ringtone is from me. Move on.
Okay, baby.
Whatever you say, sugar bullets.
Excuse me?
Wait, what?
What?
Did you call him Sugar Lips?
I'm trying to get him to move on. It's his Sam show.
I think I thought he said sugar boobs.
I swore he said Sugar Lips. Either way.
Did you say Sugar Lips, Alan?
I said let's move the show along. I want to go to bed.
No. You don't get to say something like that and then go, no.
You must clarify, young fella.
No, I don't.
Fine, then get off my lawn.
You got it. Bye.
All right. He hung up.
He really hung up?
Alan, I wasn't picking on you.
I was.
Yeah, no, you were, but I wasn't.
He's going to win an award for this, you know that.
I think that's why he did it, was just to make sure
he
did it next year. Yeah.
Come back, Alan. Sugar Lips apologized.
Okay, there's a new clip. Oh, God. All right, anyway, let's move on, guys. We're going to call this the WTR Rewind. Now, this is where you can rewrite the course of wrestling history by changing the outcomes or finishes of matches at a particular event. This week's event is WrestleMania 18. Now, take a look at the main matches, including Steve Austin versus Scott Hall, Triple H versus Jericho, Hulk Hogan versus The Rock, for example, and change the course of history with the outcomes or finishes of the matches and how, by changing the results of these matches, how it affects the storylines that took place in the coming weeks ahead. We'll start with you, Mace.
Go ahead. Do we have a specific list, or is it just sort of picked matches at random?
Pick your matches. Here, I'll explain it. Basically, you're doing fantasy booking in your own view. How would you like things to play out at this event? That's basically the direction we're going with it.
Well, you can't rebook Hogan Rock, because that was one of those magic moments of WrestleMania that, you know, they could only dream of attempting in this day and age. I wouldn't really rebook any of the matches, to be honest. The only thing I'd probably do different is keep the liquor away from Scott Hall. Anybody who remembers, Scott Hall did WrestleMania and 3 weeks later he was fired.
I would change the Scott Hall Stone Cold match. I would have made it a tag team match between Kevin Nash, you know, to have the outsiders wrestle somebody. you know, Stone Cold. And who'd Nash wrestle?
Austin, I think.
Nash was in the corner.
No, Nash didn't do crap because he couldn't walk.
Yeah, Nash was in the corner of Scott Hall.
Well, if Nash could have walked, I would have had a tag team match between Austin and a partner of his choosing and the Outsiders. I think that would have gone over well.
Omega.
Yeah, I would probably agree I don't know, it's just Austin against just one of the two NWO members didn't really make sense to me. There's really only a couple things I would probably change for this. You know, the first one being there was a women's championship match where Jazz retained over Trish and Lita.
Did that stick in your craw?
Well, just because Jazz just, you know, she's such a legendary diva. She certainly deserved a win at Mania.
Didn't Lita...
Really?
Didn't
sarcasm. Sarcasm, Spug.
Yeah, sarcasm. I picked up on that and ignored it completely. Didn't Lita get injured in that match somehow?
Jeez, I don't even remember.
Oh, no, wait. She landed on the ropes and gave it gonorrhea. That's right.
God, you fail at jokes about Lita, dude.
So, if I were to rebook this match, it would be Trish getting the pinfall on Jazz after Lita has been distracted by a kielbasa in the front row.
Ooh. Okay, there's your Lita joke, Spug. Was that a fail or was Omega winning?
No, Omega was failing.
There you go. Sorry, I think I feel like I set you up to fail, Omega. I feel bad now.
Yeah, well, get off my fucking lawn.
Okay, speaking about feeling bad, Alan, rebook a match and tell us how the change that you would do would affect the storyline in weeks ahead.
I would never have taken the belts off Chris Jericho. I would have had Triple H and Stephanie go elsewhere in the Levesque Kingdom. I was really digging the idea of Jericho as a unified champion, and then Creative decided, let's make him a non-factor in his own title defense against Triple H and Mrs. Triple H. And I would have sent them. There you go. Well, in storyline sense, they were divorced, but they were still together.
Okay.
You said you want to put someone with Triple Stone Cold against the Outsiders. There you go.
All right. Well,
put
let me ask you this. Hold on. Let me ask you this. I'll ask you this. Because you spent all that time building him up from January before the Rumble. You did the big return at Madison Square Garden. And then you had him go against Angle. And him and Angle beat the piss out of each other in the Rumble. And you had him win the Rumble. You wasted all of that. You know, in your opinion, you wasted all of that build-up on a shit match.
I wouldn't have had the build-up.
So
I would never have brought Triple H back the way he was brought back. But this isn't Guest Booker, the Alan Wojcik edition.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. That's the thing.
Oh, if it's me, it'll be here at 4 in the frickin' morning, and you guys don't have that kind of time.
So, I'm asking. If you're going to change the build-up, how are you going to change it?
And I would have never had him win the Rumble against Jericho?
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Well, Shawn Michaels was finding Jesus at that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he came back at that SummerSlam. I would have called up HBK. Did you find God yet? Cool. You're back? Okay, cool. I got a dream match. Jericho versus HBK. Granted, I got it a year later in Seattle. I would have minded seeing it earlier and had a little more meaning behind it. Because going into that match, the thing with Triple H, anyone that went into watching that match that thought, hey, Jericho's going to retain the belts and move on, that's like going into this year's Mania and thinking the Miz is going to walk out with the belt.
I still think Miz is going to win.
Yeah, I mean, I can't change Rock Hogan because it launched Rock to another level and it brought Hogan back for one more shebang and killed off the NWO, which had never have come along in the first place because I was a mega NWO supporter back in the day. Was that the pay-per-view that Hogan, no, Hogan was Rock. The next year, Seattle was Hogan and McMahon.
Right.
Wouldn't have, that's the only one I would have changed, just cause like I said, I was enjoying Jericho getting the pop that he did, and I'm probably gonna be up to those chapters in a few days in Undisputed, now available in bookstores.
Oh, you will read it, it's not how you think.
I would have liked to have seen it, but when...
Before you ask, this question, Rock, I just want to chip in with, what I would have done.
Okay.
Really quickly. When the crowd turned Hogan face in that match, what I would have done, listen, okay, spur of the moment thing, they're turning your face, they're cheering for you, that's all fine and dandy. You win the match, yay, congratulations, Rock is holding your hand up and being real nice and saying, hey, you know, it's Hogan. I would have turned around and had Hogan punk out the Rock.
In which place you've just destroyed
the Rock.
Your viewership, and yeah, you've destroyed the Rock. You've just turned a whole ton of fans right against the product.
Yeah, you just cut the entire province.
You just did a TNA, dude.
You wouldn't have made it out of Skydome there, Tim Stein. They would have been lynching you up outside on the Rogers Center. They would have lynched you on the Space Needle, my man.
Have him punk out the Rock so everything gets totally smashed up and then, not storyline, but life as it moves on, Hogan never winds up in TNA. That's my reason for it.
Okay, I park the DeLorean and we'll talk later.
You have, I think what you do there is at the end after the Rock goes over and they're having their nice little hug moment in the ring, you have Hogan beat him down.
That's what I'm saying.
Bullshit. You'd turn around, you'd have the Rock give Hogan one last rock bottom in the center of the ring and turn the Rock heel. Because you remember, we were hearing Die Rocky Die clear in that match.
Yeah, you were.
It would have made so much sense to just turn the Rock full-blown heel at that point.
Yeah, that would have worked.
Well, that was in Canada, though, where things are usually backwards to begin with.
Yeah, they call Canada Bizarro World, so.
Yeah, I don't think it would have stuck if they did it in Canada, just because the crowd was on fire for it.
But what if they did it in Madison Square Garden, like they had at WrestleMania 20, where the crowd crapped on Lesnar and Goldberg?
It's because that was a shit match.
Well, both of them were also exiting stage right.
The only saving grace of that match was Stone Cold stunning both them fuckers.
The saving grace was the fact we never had to see either of them again.
Well, that's just the bonus, I think. But anyway, Rock, you had something to ask him.
Yeah, I'll pose this to you. Okay, we're all booking this as we're keeping it as normal. But what if we take Hogan and put him against Austin and swap the Rock against Scott Hall? How would that change the course of that Mania? And how things happened after that.
Wow.
Boy.
That's the money match right there. That's the
Rock,
money match.
The Rock wouldn't be the guy that he is today. Like, he'd be close to the same level, but not quite there yet. And most of the people would have just seen it as the dream match of Hogan versus Austin, and there'd be no real elevation, no real payoff.
Yeah, see, the thing is, Rock, I mean, Stone Cold had his Mania moments. I mean, that one was tailor-made for the Rock. I mean, you're talking about, it is, you know, Austin and the Rock teaming up against the NWO, even if it is in separate matches. So, you have it in part, but Rock really needed that more than Austin did at that point.
Yeah, switching those matches, you remove a very, very strategic, very important WrestleMania moment.
Oh, yeah, that's fair, man.
Well, if it was Austin in that position, it'd be like what we view as Cena today. It's like, oh God, he's there again.
The one thing that they did right with Austin was he chased the belt more often than he held it, and that made him better in everybody's eyes. It can contrast that with John Cena. He's had the belt more than he's chased it, which has caused people to claim he's Superman.
No one on this network would ever do that, Tim.
I don't claim it. I know it.
There you go.
You got the action figure to prove it.
Yeah, there's no allegations there at all whatsoever. So, well, there it is, everybody. That's the WTR Rewind, and we're supposed to take a quick little break after this right now. Shall we take a break, or shall we keep going?
Let's keep going.
All right.
Poll question!
Poll question time, yes. Spog, throw out your poll question.
Yes. Did you download them? Do you have them?
Let me go grab them now, so you just set it up. I'll pull up on YouTube real quick.
Okay. So, I'm wrestling in an event on March 26th coming up. And this is actually a return to the ring where I will be wrestling for this company once, maybe twice a month. And I've been putting the Spug gimmick back together. I actually am going to get my mask made tomorrow. To go into the seamstress to get it started tomorrow. But I'm having a real issue with entrance music. And I have it narrowed down to three songs.
Okay.
I can't decide between the three. And the first one I have it narrowed down to is Maggie's Farm by Rage Against the Machine.
Okay.
Here we go. Take a listen. We'll play them one at a time and then we'll go through them. Here's the first one.
All right.
That's basically the first one?
Yeah, that's the first one. The second one is by a band called Devil Driver. The lead singer was the original lead singer for Coal Chamber. And he broke off from Coal Chamber and formed Devil Driver, and the name of the song is called Swingin' the Dead.
That would be number two?
That's number two. And then the third one is the original song I used for the gimmick way back in the day. It's called Duality by Slipknot.
Fingers into my eyes. It's the only thing that slowly stops the ache. But it's made of all the things I have to take. Jesus never lands, it works its way inside. If the pain is on.
Okay, we would like to hear from everybody tuned in listening and in the chat room.
Yes.
Midnight Man, if you could, if you're still chatting with Sir Rockin, if you could just let him know what your choice is. I'm going to tell you right now, my choice for you, Spug, would be the first one. Mace?
Yeah, I'm sticking with the first one. It's got a nice build. It actually has, like, an intro to it more than the other two.
Yeah. Omega?
I don't know. I kind of like the attitude on the second one.
Ooh.
Swinging the Dead.
Yeah.
Now, see, like, The whole background behind the Spud gimmick is he's a mental patient.
Oh.
And he doesn't really talk well, and he wears a mask because it's his face, and he carries around with him a teddy bear. And it's kind of like an Al Snow thing. He talks to the teddy bear. Spug and the teddy bear, whose name is Pookie, at one point were tag team champions.
Pookie?
Nice.
Pookie, yes.
The teddy bear from Garfield?
That's not where I got it from.
I was about to say the same thing.
I don't know where the name Pookie came from. I just named the bear Pookie, and it's been that way ever since. Swingin' the Dead, when he would say Swingin' the Dead in a song, I would swing the bear above my head by the leg, and at one point the leg ripped off, and the bear went flying into the crowd. And I had to wrestle it away from a 3-year-old little girl.
Aww.
Which I was heartbroken over, because Spug has always been a face. He's never been a heel. With a gimmick like that, you can't really be a heel. I mean, he's very cartoony, he's very animated, and it just doesn't work for him to be a bad guy. And so it, like, broke my heart to, like, take this teddy bear away from this little girl who was just so enamored with the fact that she got my teddy bear. And then with Duality, they use a beer keg in the song, that metal clang that you hear after the bass line. I would headbutt the bear to the song. And so, I've never used Maggie's Farm and don't really have any, like, little mannerisms to use with it to get the crowd going. And plus, I think Maggie's Farm fits more of not a brawler, but like a Kurt Angle gimmick better. Like, you know, I'm here to whoop your ass and then leave.
Well, what do you think, Alan?
Are you tweaking the character at any point at all from now
to
then?
No.
Use your original song for the first time back and then tweak it afterward. Then pick one or two.
I mean, he got a makeover. I did get new clothes, essentially.
Right, are you still bringing him back as a face?
Oh yeah, he's a face, definitely a face.
Okay, you saying he's a mental patient. The reason why I chose one, because of the build up to the song at the beginning, it sounds like a British ambulance.
Like an ambulance.
Song. Yeah, and that, to me, that fits. You let the ambulance play, and then you come out when the music hits.
Well, I used to have a manager way back in the day who, she was a medical student at Akron U, and she would come out in her skirt and business jacket and lab coat and all that, and she was Spug's psychiatrist. And the sad thing was people started to boo her.
Ooh.
Like, she was a complete baby face like I was, but people started to boo her because they didn't like her. Like, I don't know why. I don't know what she did, but she would root me on, she would cheer me on, everything. She would hold the teddy bear, but they started to boo her, and so I had to get rid of her. I'm probably putting way too much thought into this, and Mace has been in the ring before, so he gets it.
Yeah.
But, you know,
Go ahead. Clarify something for me. Are you staying a babyface, or are you turning heel?
With Spug, I'll be a babyface.
Okay, so we're not going to have the bear start giving you evil messages. All right. So,
no.
Midnight Man, who's listening in with his Lady Patty, actually gave Sir Rockin' his choice.
Oh?
He votes for number one, and I'm quoting from him here, or being a songwriter, I would have Spug listen to a song that fits his style, that's him. So I'm not sure, but it almost sounds like Midnight Man is offering to let you use a song he wrote.
Ooh.
See, I would rather have something that's like instrumental, if I could get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But it just, I don't know. And honestly, I didn't think of this when I posed this to Rock, you know, this poll question, but now that I think about it, this might actually suffice to get into our next great debate topic that I've had sitting here waiting since July.
We'll do it next week. We'll start. We might do it a whole bunch of them next week.
Right, but the next great debate. Can I announce it, Rock?
Yeah, go right ahead. We'll do it next week. Just announce it.
And I didn't realize it would tie into this, but our next great debate topic is greatest entrance of all time.
Ah, okay.
And for me, like, and Mace can either agree or disagree, and with the way things have been going lately, he's probably going to agree, which is going to scare me. But when you do your entrance or your music, you pick, you know, the song that you pick the song that fits the gimmick the best, that goes with the gimmick the best. And I listen to song lyrics. I like to listen to, because I don't know who in, you know, I know some people in the audience try to listen to the lyrics of the song. I particularly do.
Nah.
But I try to listen to the lyrics when I'm picking an entrance music.
Okay.
Just because to see if it fits.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you're in the chat room or not, Spud, but we've got...
I am not.
Okay, Tony O and Wrestling Fanatic are voting for number 3. However, Travis the Zick thinks you should come out to the Benny Hill theme song.
You so funny.
Too
comedic.
Yeah, Wrestling
However, can I... I'm gonna bump in my way in here.
Please do.
Shove Tim out the way like the old man that he is.
Fuck you, get
now,
out my way.
Spud, how about a little bit of audio tweaking? How about you take the intro from number one and find a way
ambulance?
Take that and mix it in with number 3, because you seem to have your mind set on number 3. You're gonna go back to it, regardless of what we say, by the way you're talking about it. So,
it's not that
maybe,
I have
maybe
my heart,
mix things up a little bit.
It's not that I have my heart or my mind set on number 3. It's that was my, you know what I mean? You remember, what was your first entrance music?
Fuck. It's the one Punk uses.
From Killswitch Engage?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was using that probably about 2 to 3 months before Punk got it.
Okay. Alright. So, I mean, you remember your first entrance music. You remember, you know, that, and it's not that I'm, you know, I'm dead set on keeping it. It's that, you know, it's one of those things that when I think of the Spud gimmick, that song automatically pops up into my head.
Yeah.
Personally, for me.
Well, yeah, in the end, just use Ozzy Osbourne Crazy Train.
In the end, it is your gimmick. So whatever pops in the head for you is probably the best thing for your gimmick, because you're the one that knows it the best of all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the gimmick I want to be doing, I have the exact perfect theme song picked out. It's just I've never been allowed to do the gimmick, so I've never been able to use the music.
What's the song?
Here's an idea. Here's
Edge
an idea.
Crush, Fear Factory.
Take the Woody Woodpecker theme where you hear him laughing and play the first part of the Woody Woodpecker theme, then go into Crazy Train by Ozzy.
I hate Ozzy. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of... Like, there's so many cliche songs in entrance music and wrestling. Like,
yep.
Do you know how many times I've heard, you know, Bodies by Drowning Pool or Inner Sandman or... Yeah. I mean, I went to a show one time and a guy came out to Deftones. And I was like, oh my god, he's using something different.
Huh. Cool.
You know, I heard a guy there was a guy in the promotion I used to work for that actually came to the ring to Material Girl by Madonna.
Hey, Rhett Titus comes out to Addicted to Love by Robert Palmer, man.
Spug in the chat room, they want you to come out to this song. It's the All Japan Pro Wrestling cover of the Immigrant Song. That
Bruiser... I like the Immigrant Song, though.
It was used by Bruiser Brody in All Japan Pro Wrestling.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know what the hell that was that was doing what would be the lyrics, but...
That would be the... sounded to me like an elephant trumpeting.
That was actually pretty good.
Right there.
Yeah. I come from the land of the ice and snow where the midnight and the hot springs blow.
And it's instrumental, which is what you want it.
That might rock.
I might save that for something else.
Okay.
I like that, though.
Okay.
All right.
Saving it for a rainy day.
All right. So, okay. So we've gone through the three. All right. What if we can't decide on those three? What? Give me something else. Give me something substantial.
All right. Now, while
helping Nick out here.
There you go. While people are looking for something substantial, let's get on to the second last segment of the show. While we're waiting for it, it is time now for WTR Random Takes. Omega, are you ready?
Okay.
Trish Stratus returns to the ring for her first singles match in almost 4.5 years, and it's against Vicky Guerrero.
I think I made my joy of this match known already.
Uh-huh.
hoping that the entire match is played out as kick to the face, kick to the face, kick to the face about 40, 50 times over. Until her foot gets tired or her heel breaks off, whichever comes first.
Well, her heel is likely to break off again. How many times has it happened before in her career, right? So. Alan.
Tim.
Do you think WWE films producing movies without WWE stars will help legitimize WWE Films brand?
Not one bit. I'm so tired of hearing WWE. Focus on your wrestling. It's like I heard the stories of TNA maybe doing a film company. Focus on your in-ring product. You've got enough ancillary products for your talent to go to as it is. So, no, I can honestly tell you, I don't think I've seen any of their films. I think I watched 5 minutes of the original Marine and wanted to find a rifle and shoot myself.
Okay, there you go. Mace. AJ Styles admits in an interview that Ric Flair didn't fit his personality. Now, did aligning with Ric Flair stunt the growth of AJ Styles' career?
Stunt the growth, it cut it off at the fucking knees and put it in cement so it wouldn't grow anymore, and then, well, I'm not going to finish that one because it involves a nuclear explosion and, you know, respect to our people in Japan. Yeah. Not going to go that far with it. But, yeah, it pretty much locked him down so much that there was nowhere for AJ Styles to go. He was basically Flair's lackey. And that's not the guy we want to see. We want to see the guy out there who can actually put on a good wrestling show, unlike tonight, because he was wrestling Matt fucking Hardy. But, yeah, it was a real shame to see a guy with so much potential who pretty much has tried to reach it 17 million times within that company and keeps getting his legs cut out from under him.
Mm-hmm.
Just get dropped right back down the square one again.
There you be, and there you go. All right, Spud, you around? Are you ready? Here's yours. Shelton Benjamin works a dark match at SmackDown tapings. What would benefit Shelton's career more, a return to WWE, or staying in Ring of Honor?
If there was any way to bring back Charlie Haas, to reunite him and Haas in WWE.
Okay.
I mean, and it depends. Do you want to have money, or do you want to do what you enjoy? You know what I mean?
Do you have enough money to do what you enjoy, or do you need more money?
Exactly. If you don't, I mean, if you have enough money to do what you enjoy, stay in ROH with Shelton Benjamin, or I mean with Charlie Haas, because you are the greatest tag team that I have seen in a very long time.
WGET.
If you do not, however, have enough money to do what you enjoy, another run in WWE and probably bugging somebody to get you a manager so you don't have to talk on the microphone would be a good option.
Okay, so Shelton talking isn't the greatest of things.
No.
All right. There you go. And that is WTR's Random Takes. Time for the last segment of the night. Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
All right, our first quick hitter tonight is Spug. At this point in Undertaker's career, should he only work the big events?
He shouldn't work at all. I'm not. You know me. I adore the Undertaker.
Yep.
I do. In a very not smart mark kind of fanboy way, but in the way that he has been able to stay relevant for the most part in an industry that is ever changing for the last 20 years.
Yeah. And the last successful gimmick, too, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
But him and Triple H. You know? He needs to hang it up. And to trot him out every year at WrestleMania to add one more number onto that is kind of a, one, it's slapping your own booking in the face going back to when you first started this little thing.
Mm-hmm.
And two, there's the old adage, all legends go out on their back. And there would be no greater thing that you could do for The Undertaker, to be quite honest, is to have him lose at WrestleMania. I don't do it to Triple H, because then that would just get the IWC all in a buzz looking at things that aren't there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would have to agree with you on that one. Triple H cannot be the guy that puts Taker on his back just because of the backlash, whether it's deserved or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the same with Cena can't be the one either.
No, you know who the perfect person to do it is?
Michael Cole.
DiBiase Jr.
Interesting.
Well, it makes sense. DiBiase brought Taker in.
DiBiase Jr. takes him out.
Takes him out.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. Mace. If you had a chance to learn from Tommy Dreamer, what would you want to make sure that he taught you that you knew blindfolded?
To learn from Tommy Dreamer would be a good thing, because he's one of the few guys in this day and age who still understands the old methods of ring psychology. And considering, you know, I don't have a chance to sit there and learn from the School of Raven, well, I'd definitely go with ring psychology with Dreamer.
Okay.
That and how to blade without leaving 6-foot gashes on your forehead.
There you go. Yeah, okay. Alan! What's your favorite wrestling catchphrase of all time?
You smell what the Rock is cooking.
That's your favorite catchphrase? Really?
Don't care. It's 1 a.m. Move on.
Oh. Go to bed. Get the hell out of here.
You got it.
Get off
well,
my lawn.
Don't hang up yet. Ding dong, I had one more question for him. Anyway, all right, Omega.
Was the question you were going to ask him, does this sound like us hanging up on you?
No.
I would have asked him that.
Does Omega. It involve Justin Bieber?
Omega, your question. John Cena claims to have nothing more to say about The Rock. Do you believe him?
Not in the least. Though, it kind of seems like they're going to go with Miz and The Rock now, which is the pair they should have gone with to begin with. Instead of splitting the audience between two super faces, and Miz being a better worker on the mic than Cena, I'm looking forward to the next couple of weeks because I want some decent Miz and Rock banter.
Oh, right.
That said, I don't think Cena's done either.
Okay, there you go. Spug! What reality show do you think Alan Wojcik would fit best on?
Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Oh! Was that wrong?
No, dude. I don't know. I don't know. He wouldn't survive on Survivor. He'd make one too many movie references and they'd throw him in the fucking ocean.
Oh, that's mean.
And he's just not hip or entertaining or drunk enough to get by on Jersey Shore.
Okay, moving on. Mace. Oh my god. Mace, a WTR listener question.
Oh no.
Listener question. Right.
This is legit. A WTR listener actually posed this question to Sir Rockin, who, by the way, makes up these quick hits, just so you know. 99% of them, anyway. If you were to describe yourself as a sexual act, what would that sexual act be? What would that sexual act be, and why would you be that sexual act?
For the record, that's the clean version of it.
Yeah, by the way, I was about to say, nice paraphrasing, Rock.
Well, listen here, little Scottish woman that I know who fucking sent that one in. Not gonna answer! Fuck off!
How'd you know it was her?
Hey,
because
hey,
she's the only one perverted enough to send that question in.
Hey, Mace. Would you be anal, vaginal, or oral in orientation?
You know, he could be a tick wank.
He hung up. Nice going. Nice going, Spike.
Oh, no.
Did he really? That's a two.
That's a first.
That's two.
Now watch this one be accidental and his neck. It was because of his net again. Hi, Mace.
No, it wasn't accidental.
Omega.
No, I'm hanging up.
No, you can't hang up until you get the question. That's the rule. Okay, here's the question.
Wait. Get Mace back on the show.
Yeah, I was just waiting for Mace to get back to ask Omega's question. Here's your question, Omega. Why do you hate the blacks?
It's pitiful because I know the reference to this.
I have no problem with the blacks. I, unlike Mace, just chose not to own them.
And yet you want to trade for some blacks, don't you?
He's going to trade you a few good whites that can actually work.
You guys know how hard it is to try to smoke when you're laughing your ass off? Cut it out.
Do you know how hard it is not to go into a slew of racial epithets at this moment in time?
Emails.
Address your emails to rockandsock@wildtalkradio.com.
I'm really trying hard here.
He's the one that taught him off, man.
As the saying goes, you gotta catch them all.
There you go. Hey. Tell you what. Tony's in the chat room. Why don't we have Tony call in?
No.
And he can answer Alan's last question.
No.
No, no.
Okay.
No.
What about Travis?
If you got to catch them all, you need a good whip and a good horse.
Oh.
Send the emails to wildtalkradio.com.
Yep. Why don't we get Travis to call in and we'll ask him Alan's the second question.
I got a better idea.
Okay.
Since Mace didn't like his second question, let's ask Mace Alan's last question.
Yeah, we could do that. Mace, answering as Alan,
Wait, got to get in character first.
Okay.
Now Alan Wojcik.
Okay, are you ready? Answering as Alan, if you were one of Godzilla's monster buddies or monster enemies, which one would you be and why?
I would probably be Mothra, movie reference, name drop. I want to go to bed.
Oh, I have a funny feeling Ellen's going to leave the network.
Oh. Bullshit, I just won't be on the show Tuesday night.
Movie reference, name drop.
Movie reference, name drop, I'm going to bed.
So, now that he's not here...
No, you can't pick on him.
I'm not.
Okay.
But now that he's not here, and we tried to do this the other night, we want to do a roast of Alan Wojcik.
Oh, God.
I think it would be utterly hilarious.
He might wind up listening to the rest of the show on the archive. You realize
he knows
this.
We're doing a roast of him.
He knows we're doing it. He doesn't want to be a part of it.
Ah.
Because it's not his brand of humor.
Huh.
This is the guy who thinks silent movies are funny.
Anyway, your point.
We need to come up with a good roast of Alan Wojcik.
In silent movies, you can provide your own commentary. Oh shit, I said that out loud.
Yeah, you did.
And I made you laugh.
admin@wildtalkradio.com for that email.
There you go.
So far, Omega and I are the only ones that aren't going to get hate mail, and yet we're the ones that have the most racist freaking thing on the segment.
Yeah, well, let's change that around real quick. Mace, this is your opportunity to be racist.
Dude, I don't need an opportunity to be racist.
How
we
many
do that
times?
On MMA.
How many times are you ever going to hear that cue?
Okay, Omega, this is your opportunity to solicit hate mail for your racism.
Wait, hold on. I hold this up as a badge of honor that somebody wanted me fired from a free internet radio show.
That you don't get paid for doing.
That's a, free. That's the whole meaning of free, Tim.
Well, no, the way you expressed it, free, in the context you used it, I mean, they didn't have to fucking pay not to listen to you.
But they wanted me fired. I hold this as a badge of honor.
That's funny. What's his name again? Shane Doan or something like that?
Shane Cox of Des Moines, Iowa.
Okay, well, with a name like that, I think he'd be the last person to send hate emails.
He did.
I'm just saying he should be the last one to do it.
Oh, when we get off the air.
The saga continues.
Oh, I can't wait.
I didn't get any more hate mail. I didn't get any more you should be fired email. It was actually a decent conversation. But just pay attention.
They hugged it out, and they're now best buddies.
Oh, no. That's boring.
But stay tuned to the Wild Talk Radio commercials, because there might be a funny one coming up at some point.
Okay. Well, that being said, let's get the hell out of here. Everybody, thanks for tuning in to WTR Sunday Night for this night, March the 13th, 2011. Apparently, there is now video of Jeff Hardy stumbling up the ring steps. If you go to YouTube, you can check it out. Tuesday night, make sure that you join us right here for OWW Radio. And I have no idea what Alan's got planned for Tuesday.
Sid Vicious will be live at 9 p.m.
And Steve Corino.
Yes, and Steve Corino will be talking baseball and wrestling on OWW Radio this Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Awesome.
And Jamal, maybe.
And maybe Jamal. All right. And, of course, Wednesday night, OTL Omega.
I may or may not have something planned, but until then, we are running down the geek news, and me and Mace are going to make borderline racist comments all night, I assume.
Oh, that'll be a switch.
Can I make racist comments?
Not only if you're good.
Ooh, if I eat all my dinner?
Eat all your vegetables.
You gotta earn it, dude.
Gotta eat all your greens.
Yes. Are we doing, is there a pay-per-view this Saturday?
There is. It's not a pay-per-view, though. It's a Fight Night Live.
We're going to be live for Tap Outs and Knockouts?
Yeah, we'll probably be live for it.
So we'll check that out, and then stay tuned for CB Radio right after that, midnight-ish.
All right, yeah. And, of course, next Sunday night, another edition of Rust Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Everybody, thanks a lot for joining us. Catch you next Sunday night right here on WTR.
Buck Mab, he's a fag.
Busted!
Way to fuck it up, Omega.